even from the air, Washington, D.C., exuded an almost mystical power. Langdon loved this city, and as the jet touched down, he felt a rising excitement about what lay ahead. The jet taxied to a private terminal somewhere in the vast expanse of Dulles International Airport and came to a stop. Langdon gathered his things, thanked the pilots, and stepped out of the jet's luxurious interior onto the fold-out staircase. The cold January air felt liberating. "Breathe, Robert," he thought, appreciating the wide-open spaces. A blanket of white fog crept across the runway, and Langdon had the sensation he was stepping into a marsh as he descended onto the misty tarmac.
"Hello! Hello!"
a sing-song British voice shouted from across the tarmac.
"Professor Langdon?"
Langdon looked up to see a middle-aged woman with a badge and clipboard hurrying toward him, waving happily as he approached. Curly blonde hair protruded from under a stylish knit wool hat.
"Welcome to Washington, sir."
Langdon smiled. "Thank you."
"My name is Pam, with Passenger Services."
The woman spoke with an exuberance that was almost unsettling.
"If you'll come with me, sir, your car is waiting."
Langdon followed her across the runway toward the signature terminal, which was surrounded by glistening private jets, a taxi stand for the rich and famous.
"I hate to embarrass you, Professor,"
the woman said, sounding sheepish.
"But you are the Robert Langdon, who writes books about symbols and religion, aren't you?"
Langdon hesitated, and then nodded.
"I thought so," she said, beaming. "My book group read your book about the sacred feminine and the church. What a delicious scandal that one caused. You do enjoy putting the fox in the hen house."
Langdon smiled. "Scandal wasn't really my intention." The woman seemed to sense Langdon was not in the mood to discuss his work.
"I'm sorry. Listen to me rattling on. I know you probably get tired of being recognized, but it's your own fault."
She playfully motioned to his clothing.
"Your uniform gave you away."
"My uniform?" Langdon glanced down at his attire. He was wearing his usual charcoal turtleneck, Harris tweed jacket, khakis, and collegiate cordovan loafers. His standard attire for the classroom, lecture circuit, author photos, and social events. The woman laughed.
"Those turtlenecks you wear are so dated. You'd look much sharper in a tie."
"No chance," Langdon thought. "Little nooses." Neckties had been required 6 days a week when Langdon attended Phillips Exeter Academy, and despite the headmaster's romantic claims that the origin of the cravat went back to the silk fascalia worn by Roman orators to warm their vocal cords, Langdon knew that, etymologically, cravat actually derived from a ruthless band of Croat mercenaries who donned knotted neckerchiefs before they stormed into battle. To this day, this ancient battle garb was donned by modern office warriors hoping to intimidate their enemies in daily boardroom battles. "Thanks for the advice," Langdon said with a chuckle. "I'll consider a tie in the future." Mercifully, a professional-looking man in a dark suit got out of a sleek Lincoln Town Car parked near the terminal and held up his finger.
"Mr. Langdon, I'm Charles with Beltway Limousine."
He opened the passenger door.
"Good evening, sir. Welcome to Washington."
Langdon tipped Pam for her hospitality and then climbed into the plush interior of the town car. The driver showed him the temperature controls, the bottled water, and the basket of hot muffins. Seconds later, Langdon was speeding away on a private access road. "So this is how the other half lives." As the driver gunned the car up Windsock Drive, he consulted his passenger manifest and placed a quick call.
"This is Beltway Limousine," the driver said with professional efficiency. "I was asked to confirm once my passenger had landed."
He paused.
"Yes, sir. Your guest, Mr. Langdon, has arrived, and I will deliver him to the Capitol building by 7 p.m. "You're welcome, sir."
He hung up. Langdon had to smile. No stone left unturned. Peter Solomon's attention to detail was one of his most potent assets, allowing him to manage his substantial power with apparent ease. A few billion dollars in the bank doesn't hurt either. Langdon settled into the plush leather seat and closed his eyes as the noise of the airport faded behind him. The U.S. Capitol was a half hour away, and he appreciated the time alone to gather his thoughts. Everything had happened so quickly today
that Langdon only now had begun to think in earnest about the incredible evening that lay ahead. Arriving under a veil of secrecy, Langdon thought, amused by the prospect. 10 miles from the Capitol building, a lone figure was eagerly preparing for Robert Langdon's arrival.